Well, praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord. Let's come to our lesson in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for the topic for the day, for I think it goes so well even with Mother's Day. But I pray that you especially use it to our edification in all areas of our life. And we ask in the name and sake of Jesus Christ, amen. Praise the Lord. First of all, happy Mother's Day. I hope all of you mothers have a wonderful and special day, and may everything go according to how you would plan it to be. Praise the Lord. First of all, let's just mention homework. Same as always, we probably have about two lessons left. Then we'll start on something else. I'll decide by next week. Our homework, for specifically, we're taking a magnifying glass of this Corinthian church, chapters 12 through 14 of 1 Corinthians. Keep on reading, reading, reading. We always gain a little more understanding. The more times we go through God's Word, the Holy Spirit opens up little jewels of insight. And I just love it the way He does that. We're studying concerning spiritual gifts. And we're in chapter 13 today. Some of my favorite 13 verses. The whole Bible is Holy Spirit inspired. One of the reasons it's my favorite is that you often hear it in weddings, just like you hear that famous chapter of Ruth. They say it all the time in weddings. And so I really love this chapter, and it's essentially referred to as the love chapter. But last week, just to kind of do some catch-up, we discussed two major problems in the previous set of scriptures. We discussed two major problems of the Corinthian church. Now, they were abusing their spiritual gifts. Keep in mind, that's the topic. One of the ways they was abusing their spiritual gifts is that there were people in there who said, I'm not worthy. Remember that? How can the foot say to the hand, because I'm not the hand, I don't belong to the body, I'm not part of the body?
Take care of my ears, my eyes, take care of my hands, all parts of my body, I'm just like in the body of Christ, we take care of each other.
That's right, and support each other, and we complement each other in the sense that we help. What the eye can't do, the hand can do. What the foot can't do, the ear can do, and, you know, just on and on it goes. Paul uses the analogy of a human body, something we all have and can relate to.
I heard an analogy this week from a preacher. He said he was walking down a path, and there was a copperhead in the path. And he said, my feet didn't know to run till my brain. He said, my eyes saw it, you know. It didn't go to my brain. But he said, if it left it all up to my feet, I'd have walked all over the copperhead and eat me up.
Yeah, because what if he's looking straight up in the air? You know, he definitely would have walked over it, right? Or probably.
He had all of them, his eyes and what have you, to get his feet together.
Well, and that's Paul's point. Paul's point is that ye being many, you got all these different gifts. I know some of you don't feel like you got anything to offer. And then you got another bunch, problem number two, who think they're superior to everybody else. Church can't get along without me. If I left, the church would just go flat. You know, oh, Lord, forgive us for thinking those kind of lines. But that happens. You got two problems in the Corinthian church. And so Paul is saying, look, you're all one body. You function together as one. You're there to help each other as an assembly. But also, you're part of a larger body of the Church of Christ. It's not just here in this little room. We're all part of the Church of Christ. Let me say it this way. If we had a huge scandal that happened here, a huge one, would that affect anybody on the outside? Sure. For one thing, it'll give us a very bad reputation and name, and then people who are trying to witness, they're going to use us as an example as to why they don't want to be like us or like them.
Scandal, was it Tennessee or where? He lost everything. He was in prison for a while.
Oh, Jim Baker?
Yeah.
Yeah, it affects people.
It affected all other Pentecostal churches. Over that
it does, that, Jimmy Swaggart and several others.
Other churches, all churches will suffer over it.
And that's what Paul was also saying too. When the members rejoice, we all rejoice. But when one member suffers, not just this congregation, but when Jim Baker fell, a lot of us felt that pain. Maybe ways we didn't even realize at the time. And who knows? Maybe in ways that are not able to repair.
But it brought him back to God.
It did. In fact, I read part of his biography or book he wrote. I was wrong. He wrote it in prison. He revealed a lot about himself and how he came back. Things that went on, I didn't even know. I mean, about afterwards, who took over and stuff that happened. I think I might go back and finish that book. Paul did that. He basically saying now, okay, folks, you got some problems. Here's the problems that I think you have. Now, keep in mind, he's writing all this. Let's talk about this verse for just a moment. He ends chapter 12, verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. That first line there, covet earnestly the best gifts. My opinion, given the context of the rest of the scriptures, he's talking about the assembly, the edification for the body, the growing of the church. I think he's saying covet earnestly the best gifts for your assembly, not so much individually. Perhaps, go back and look. There was people who are already jealous over other people's gifts. So the idea of coveting individually, I'm not so sure that's what Paul was pointing out here. Do I want the best for my church? Absolutely. Do I want the best musical abilities and talents and gifts in our church? Absolutely. Singing, preaching, you name it, I covet the best for our church, for our assembly. And I have a notion, and I could be wrong, but I think that's what Paul was saying here. He's saying, covet earnestly the best gifts. Your assembly can use them. Because the whole point of this was to take the attention off of you, your agenda, and put it on God. It's the Holy Spirit who gives them to you. He does them at His own discretion. And He does them to enable you to perform His will. So I think that's what Paul is saying here. So I'm not so convinced he means individually, but he could. It could probably apply to both. But look at this last line. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. It's almost as if he's saying, but I got something better for you. You know, I know you got all these problems going on, but I got something better for you. I pray that you'll indulge me a little bit, but I decided to use a different translation for the scriptures that we're getting ready to go. For whatever reason, this chapter 13 is translated by the King James translators, the word love, as charity. Now, we throw the word love around a lot. I think sometimes we misuse the word love. We get confused whether or not it's a behavior, an emotion, or if it's a things you do, acts, or an attitude. Can you tell, just by looking at me, whether or not I love my grandkids? You can't tell, right now, just by looking at me, that I even love my wife. Because I'm not doing anything right now to show that love. Now,
I can tell the way in church I love them.
But see, that's the things you what? The things you see. There's a scripture in your study guide, and I think I put it on, maybe it's number 2. Jesus made this point, and I think it's something we better take to heart very carefully. By this shall all men know. Did I say that right? By this shall all men know. By what? What is this? See, when you're talking about to love one another, how is all men going to know unless they see it?
Fruits.
Exactly. By their fruits you shall know them, right? See, that's the thing. Love is powerful. It can create inside strong, strong emotions.
It is.
There's no way I can wrap my arms around the definition of love.
Misuse of our way. People cover up a lot of this. I love you.
Yeah.
But the proof.
But there's no proof in that, is there? No, no. I mean, you want to know if somebody loves somebody, there's an easy test. Guess what? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a wonderful test. Paul wants to show them a better way. Now, I'm going to read out of the English Standard Version. He says here, and by the way, as I go through these few scriptures, I'm going to just hit them one right after the other. Think super Christian. A Christian with a cape on their back and ready to leap in any moment at the sign of trouble. Paul is saying, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I was going to use as an illustration some pots and pans, and I was going to come in here and just bang them around a little bit and walk all around. I don't think Deronda would have appreciated that much, and I don't think you guys would either. But that's what Paul said. It's just being noisy or a clanging cymbal. He's talking about tongues. If he speaks in all these tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, he's just making noise.
Worthless.
Yeah, it's worthless. And he goes on, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. See, he's talking about the super Christian. If I can speak in all these languages and I can do all these things and I understand everything about there is to know about God, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. And now he's talking about the sacrifice. This is why I meant super Christian. If I give away all I have, that's his earthly possessions, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, in other words, if he's going to be willing to die for the cause, yes, sir, I'll step in front of that bullet right now or be put into the fire right now. Go to it. But have not love, hasn't gained anything. Hasn't gained anything. Paul is trying to knock down the attitude that some people had because they thought they were the greatest thing since unleavened bread. I was getting ready to say sliced bread. You know what I'm talking about? We've met these people. They think they're everything to everybody for the church. But he says, if you're doing it out of the wrong reasons, if you don't have love, you're nothing. You're just making noise and you're not gaining anything.
Well, if it's an imitation, it's not going to be like the real thing anyway.
That's right.
No matter how much you put on, pretend, lie, or whatever.
And you may just run into somebody who has discernment of spirits and be able to call you on that. Well, then he goes on. This is that measuring stick. And by the way, it's on your study sheet. We're going to reference that in a little bit. He gives us this long list. Well, not so long. It's just a few verses. But as I read these, notice if there's any place in your life, in my life, that you know I don't quite live up to that one. It says here, love is patient and kind. That's the first one. That's usually the first one we break, isn't it? I got up here and preached one message, and I think I told everybody this story. I was preaching a message, and I was trying to think of an illustration for the message, and here I was at a stoplight, and somebody was not moving. They were on their cell phone, the light was green, and I was waiting and waiting and waiting. It felt like forever, probably 5 seconds. Finally, I hit my horn. Man was in a truck, and he's just flailing his arms at me, and, you know, he's, who knows, I think he was giving me a few choice words. But I'm sitting here like, the road's that way, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm making these gestures to him, trying to point him in the right direction, but he's turning around doing all this to me. So here's both of us, and I'm on my way to come preach a message. I got off work early to come down here to get ready for preach. Well, I got my illustration. I was impatient, and I was not kind. And sometimes I wonder why God lets me do what I do. But that was my illustration, because I came to preach the gospel, God had mercy, even on somebody like me. So I failed the very first one there, patient and kind. That happens to me. Love does not envy or boast. Now, the Corinthian church especially, but everyone in general, we sometimes envy other people's either gifts or talents or things. You know, I'd love to have that new car. I'm pretty jealous over that. You could say jealous. Or boast. That's when you brag. I would love to be able to do certain things spiritually, but I kind of wonder that if I did, would I be able to keep my mouth shut? If you fasted for 40 days, could you keep your mouth shut about it?
No.
Well, your mouth would be shut. Yeah, if I fasted for 40 days, I probably, I don't know. You know, God may call you to do such a thing. I don't know.
Well, if God did the arrangements, it will work.
Yeah, it will work.
But if it's just you on your own.
But the fleshly part. See, this is one of the things that Jesus, it's just so irritated Jesus, is that the Pharisees would like to pray long prayers. They would time it just right. You know, I don't know if they wore watches. You know, they had some way of knowing when it was time to be on the street corner. And come the hour of prayer, rats, I'm not in the temple yet, so I've got to stop where I am and just pray. They would pray these long, eloquent prayers where people could hear. And they would give, and when they gave, they would exchange. It'd be like us, we'd go in and take our dollar, you know, whatever we planned to give for Sunday school, and we'd turn it into 100 pennies. So that when we threw it in, it's going to be a while, folks. You're going to have to wait on me while I give my money here. You know, this is the Pharisees. That was the attitude they had. You know, I'm giving to the poor folks, you know, it's going to be a while. Wait on me. I mean, they got their reward. It just irritated Jesus so much. He said, do it in secret. Let your Father who sees in secret, He'll reward you openly. And that's what it says here, not boast. Love doesn't boast. If you love yourself, maybe, but if love doesn't boast. And it's not arrogant. Don't you just hate it when you run into a know-it-all like me, Deronda? She knows I know it all. I used to tell my children. Yeah, Aaron. I used to tell my children that I knew everything as they were growing up. I knew everything. And they got a little older. And they, well, how do you know everything? I said, you get this daddy book. It tells you everything. And sure enough, it seemed like I did know everything. But see, I'd lived it. I knew what little kids were capable of, and I knew what little kids were thinking because I've been there. I know what it's like, but yeah, I used to confuse them, but I acted like a know-it-all, and even today they remind me of that. Love's not arrogant. You don't put yourself up on a pedestal. Or rude. You know, not only impatient or being patient, being kind. I was telling my son, about somebody who called about a bill. They had gotten a bill and didn't think they deserved it. It was a gas company bill. They didn't think they deserved the bill, first of all, because they had had their gas cut off. And the person was telling me this at work. They had gotten this bill, so they were angry. So they called them up. I don't owe this bill. My gas has been off for such and such. And I want you to correct it. And this person who got the bill and who was making the call was telling me everything they were saying. Isn't it interesting how when we get puffed up and proud, we can kind of remember the things we tell off people? Well, that's what he did. He told these people where they could step off. And he was one of those, he's kind of a practiced person who can do that. He can get very irritating over the phone. None of us do that here, I know. But he can do that. He can get very irritating over the phone talking to some service representative. I'm sitting here listening to this story and I'm thinking, wow, you know, like this. And he said, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I want to talk to your manager. He's taking it a step up, right? So he's going to the manager. So he gets in touch with the manager. Tells me what all he said there, and sure enough, they're going to correct his bill, and send him a new one. I said, that's amazing. I said, well, how much was it? You'll never believe it. 10 cents. 10 cents. I do not joke. I tell you, it about floored me. I listened to him for 5 minutes or more of how rude he was on the phone to somebody over a 10-cent bill. And I told him, I was half joking, half serious. I said, I won't say his name. I said, if you needed 10 cents, I said, I'd pay it for you. And he just smugly looked at me and said, it's the principle of the thing. Was that man showing love? But the way he went on about this story, and I let him go on, 10 cents, he was rude. And who knows the damage he caused, the ripple effect. You've all heard the ripple effect. You know, somebody has a bad day at work and they go home and they see the cat that kicked the cat. Well, the cat goes over and he scratches the dog. Well, the dog runs and he turns around and knocks over the vase. Well, now the vase is broken. The wife's all upset. And the wife's yelling at the kids. Well, now the kids are upset. You see what kind of ripple effect? Rudeness and anger.
Hurt everything, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, Satan loves things like that. Chaos. Love, talking about it here, verse 5, does not insist on its own way. Oh, well, that's another one we need to figure out. My way or the highway, that's the old saying. Well, if I ever said that, you can point to this scripture and say, you're going against God. It says it doesn't insist on your own way. Either we're going to sing the songs that I want to sing, or I'm not even going to be part of the choir. Or we're going to be playing this instrument, not this other instrument. Well, I just won't have anything to do with it. You can just count me out. Yeah. Or back when we played football, I'll take my football and go home. Sure. That's the way we are. I mean, that's children, right? That's children behavior. Does not insist on its own way. Is not irritable or resentful. I think we've all failed the irritability test. Who hasn't come home with a bad day sometimes? But notice, though, this is in the Scripture. Sometimes you have to look at the Scripture and you're like, God, do you really mean this? And like you said, I'm only human. Well, sometimes that's not a valid excuse, is it? It's not irritable or resentful. I don't resent people. Another place it might say doesn't keep a record of wrongs. In other words, if you made me mad 2 weeks ago and I'm still holding on to that, I'm against Scripture. I'm going against what Paul is writing here, what the Holy Spirit inspired. Don't want to hang on to those wrongs. Here's one. I don't know if you've seen this before. Does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Have you ever seen somebody get into trouble? Yeah, I knew that was going to happen. Oh, man, I saw it coming a mile away. I could have told them. Yeah, or I did tell them. And don't you like to step up in front of them? I told you that was going to happen. You just kept it on. It's going to go. There's a little difference. I know I kind of exaggerated a little bit. There's a little difference between trying to explain to your children the right and wrongs of life because you do know what's coming. But what he's talking about here is rejoicing. Now, there's a difference. If my child gets into trouble and gets into jail, am I going to rejoice? No. I'll be heartbroken.
We don't know when we're going to get in trouble.
That's right. Be careful how you stand, lest ye fall. But that's what he's talking about. We don't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. We don't, at least I hope, I'm never glad when something bad happens to somebody, even if I don't agree with them. Let's be careful if that's what's happening. But if something happens to somebody who maybe has done us wrong in the past, let's not rejoice. Let's feel sorry for them. And let's pray for them. And that's one that we really got to work on. Now, here we go. After saying all of that, giving us this measuring stick, this list, he basically sums it up. Love bears all things. It means you put up with, or at least you can endure. Well, not so much endure, but it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, the one that says believes all things doesn't necessarily mean believe a lie. It basically means you, when you believe and you hope things will work out, that's putting your trust in your Creator. That's what he's talking about here. You're putting your trust that it will work out. These things will end. They'll get better. Now, as he's saying all this, this is what love is. He gives us a wonderful definition of love, and you can find it in other places in the Bible. He finally tells us this. Love never ends. That's key, folks. And the reason he can say that, and the reason I can believe that, is because there's a scripture in the Bible that says God is love. And he is eternal.
He came to fulfill. Jesus came to fulfill.
He did. And he is eternal. Love will never end.
He fulfilled it on the cross.
Absolutely.
A change. We won't have to deal with that.
Well, and he's going to get into that because that's what he's really saying. As for prophecies, they will pass away or cease. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. All these things that God is enabling us to do now, to live for the kingdom now, to edify the church now, will one day go away because we won't need it anymore. He's saying, you know, all these things, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, or in the King James it says, but when that which is perfect comes, the partial will pass away. This scripture, people like to say, and I read the commentary this weekend, that when the canon was closed, the Bible, the last book of the Bible, Revelations, was written, that the perfect had come and that we no longer have need of any of these things. They're all past. Well, if you read the rest of the scriptures, I don't think that's what he's talking about. He's looking ahead, folks. He's looking ahead. He's talking about his maturity. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Well, that makes sense. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Have you known anybody older than 18 who have not given up their childish ways? Sure. Didn't grow. And he's saying, when I became a man, I gave up these childish ways. In a sense, he's saying to the Corinthian church, your folks are behaving a lot like children in your behavior and attitude. But here's that future part. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then, face to face. When is then? That's the question you got to answer for yourself. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So Paul is giving these folks a better way, a list of things that they can say, yes, I measure up to this. No, I don't measure up to this. Lord God, help me work on this. Help me to meet your specifications in love.
A lot of times he has to reveal what's in us. A lot of times I don't know what is in me until he reveals it to me. Then that's when I work with it.
That's right. That's right. And that's the thing. We have to measure our behavior, our actions, our attitudes toward one another. Mend that relationship. That's what God truly is happy with. Jesus came to mend the relationship between us who were lost and the Father who could not bear to look at sinful children. His creation had gone astray. Jesus came to save sinners. That's us. That's us. So he wraps up with this. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. He's teaching the Corinthian church, you've got all these abilities, gifts, things at your fingertips, and you're misusing them. But this is the better way. He's talking about the more excellent way, love. And it's easy to say. It rolls off the tongue so easily. You know, I love you, but I don't want to do anything for you. No, it's not love. I know you're in need, but, you know, I really got to, there's a movie I want to go see. It's on tonight. I got to go see it. I'm sorry, but I'd love to help you out. No, it's not love.
That's a play of words.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue so easily, doesn't it? You know, we say we love this, we love that. And really the emotion, it's hard to separate the emotion from the behavior. The word used for love and charity in the King James is the word agape. It's one of the stronger words for love. It's that deep, deep love. The love that Jesus did for us. When he gave up everything, even his own life, just for us. And really, even though he didn't have to. I want to back up to one scripture, because my time's running out. I want to back up to this one scripture. I glossed over it just a little bit. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It's kind of a summary thing here. Paul's putting together, this is the result. If you're really a loving person and you're really showing love to other people, these are the things that will kind of result. Well, what I want to do, I want to just show you a little, I think it's a little comical, but it gives a good point. I want to show you a little video. But before I do, look at your study guide. That list that you see, that's our measuring stick that just came out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Is patient, is kind, does not envy, that love list right there. And I want you to just kind of glance over that list and then watch this video very closely and tell me, where do you think this guy's failing?
That kid, every time I'm pulling out, he's right there. Man, and someone needs to talk to his parents if they're ever at home. What is up with the traffic today? And always, every day, this intersection is always crowded. I hate pulling out of here. I need some of these dumb roads. Oh, there's... Okay, so I'm not even here. Right. Great lady. The princess of parking. Sure. Take the spot. Way to be considerate. Oh... Kidding me? Unbelievable. Oh.
Thank you, ma'am.
Ugh, about time. Let's see, what do I want?
Could I add a cookie to that order?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no problem, only guy in the world. I'm sure you need your cookie. The world, your oyster, and he's serving your cookie.
Thank you
so much.
Uh-huh. What can I get for you?
I'll have a tall decaf macchiato.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
$3.85.
And it might take a few minutes here. We've got quite a line, obviously, and thanks for your patience.
Great.
Yeah, great. Great for me. Waiting again. Unbelievable. What? What? What is... What in the world? What am I supposed to do? How can I do anything about that? Can I even help with that? I don't...
Your copy, sir.
Oh. I can't take this anymore. I gotta get out of here.
Hey, watch.
Sorry.
Hey, buddy, come here.
No, he didn't. He failed a lot of those, didn't he? Especially the patient kind.
The last four, too. Bears all things, bleeds all things.
That's right. You see how much of it goes together?
Did not hear him.
I think that video kind of encompassed so many of those points on there. Wouldn't it be nice sometimes just to have a pair of glasses like those? Where you can just kind of look and you can see what people are going through and then you can do something about it? Or wouldn't it be nice just to have love? Assume that people aren't out to get you.
To be kind of love.
Yeah, that's what those glasses were, looking at people through a lens of love.
That's right.
And seeing what their problem is by focusing on your...
It started out, it was all about him, didn't it? Bad roads, everything was against him. The whole world was against him. Even getting service from that whatever place it was. Still don't know what he was ordering. It went too fast for me. But the thing, my whole point was, people got real problems. People got real issues. And we think sometimes that when those issues collide with us, that we take it personal. And the point of this video, and I think the point Paul is trying to make, is don't take it so personal. If you really got the love of Christ in you and you want to show people you love them, it's what comes out here. It's how you react here and toward them will show the difference. Father, thank you, Lord, for the things you teach us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for all these things. And I pray in the name of the Lord that you will help us to love others as you have loved us. For we ask for the sake and glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.